You guys ever seen that movie? It's great. I love that movie. Well, hey, as we take on this... Actually, Jason, would you mind turning that down just a little bit? I feel like I'm like God, you know, and I don't want to feel like that at all. So as we take on this topic of connecting relationally, I just want to let you know that not all relational connections are good. All right, not all of them are life-giving, not all of them are healthy connections. For example, anytime that you see not only people, but dogs dressing up in Star Trek paraphernalia, you definitely want to stay away from that. Do we have the picture up there? Maybe. You definitely want to stay away from that. Also, anytime that you see a grown man with his entire back tattooed with his favorite comic book, yeah, that might be a little bit scary. And lastly, anytime that you see Pastor Josh dressing up like his favorite movie character, Edward, okay? Definitely want to stay away from that. That is not a pretty sight. But the fact is that every one of us longs to connect and belong somewhere. We all long for meaningful relationships, but often things can get in the way. Things can get in the way. Deep scars can make us reject connecting. Hurts from the past. I can sum it up in two words. Junior high, right? Junior high. I mean, think about it. They call it middle school now, right? You're kind of stuck in the middle. You know, you're not quite there. You're not really a kid anymore, but you haven't quite made it to high school status, right? I mean, personal hygiene just isn't cool, right? Honestly. And things are happening. Hormones are changing and they're exploding. I mean, there's zits and there's body hair. And, you know, boys, if you're a boy, you can go from, like, a soprano to a baritone in, like, one word, right? Honestly, you can, and there's all of these different changes that are going on. Catholics actually call it purgatory. It's not quite heaven, not quite hell, but you're definitely made to pay for every mistake that you make. And sometimes, even as grown-ups, we live in a junior high world. And as much as we try to connect, we often struggle with rejection and isolation. And that's not what God wants for us. We often feel as if we're on the outside of life looking in. Like we haven't quite made it, like we haven't quite gotten to a place of peace and fulfillment, right? You guys ever felt like that? I mean, here's an example. You know, in my middle school days, in my junior high days, you guys probably all have examples of your own. I had John Nance, okay? And John Nance was a stud. He was like one of those kids that actually started shaving in like the second grade, you know? He was just one of those Italian stallions. And during this time, I seriously weighed like 80 pounds. And I started shaving a couple years after I got married, so, you know, it was a long time after that. But John was just this all-star guy. I mean, he was the captain of the baseball team. He was the stud. And I wanted to be him, you know? And as much as I tried to emulate him, I could just never really fit in with him or his crowd. You know, I just couldn't quite belong because I just wasn't cool enough. And you know, every single one of us wants to fit in. We want to belong. We all want to have a place to go where everybody knows our name and they're glad we came, right? Yeah, you guys remember that show Cheers? Yeah, it was a great show. They'd be like, Norm, yeah. But you know, it was a great show because it really played up on this deep need that we have to belong. To be a part of a community that is life-giving. To be a part of something that's bigger than ourselves, and that's God's desire for us. See, God's desire for us is that we would experience His love and His grace and then learn how to reverse those negative effects of junior high, a world that tends to often leave us on the outside looking in. Romans 15:7 says this. Actually, why don't you guys read this with me? You guys want to read this with me? And the way that we do that around here is we do that with our outside voices, okay? We do that with our outside voices. Here we go. Ready? Read. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you. God, oh, I'm sorry, I can't read. There you go. So that God will be given glory. Underline accept each other. Underline accept each other. That's going to be the theme of this connect talk that we have today, because it's one of the ways that we resolve to live a great life. And here's the point of that verse. The point is that our acceptance is first found in Jesus. And with that security of acceptance, we can then aggressively accept other people rather than evaluating whether or not we should aggressively accept other people. And see, that doesn't mean that we endorse every single person's lifestyle choices, but it does mean that we accept them and that we love them. That's what God would have us to do. Now, if you're relatively new here to Renovate, as we all are, since we're all brand new, I mean, this is going to be a really important message series for us. Here's why. Because not only are you going to learn some of our core values, but we're also going to try to help you understand who we are and what we're about and what we believe that the Church of Jesus Christ is supposed to be all about as well. And, you know, if you're in that process of deciding, you know, am I in or am I out on this whole Jesus thing or this whole church deal, we are so glad that you're here, because hopefully we're going to help you make some of those decisions, give you some information about what we believe the Church of Jesus is supposed to be. And then you'll be able to decide, am I all in or am I going to bail? And so I really am glad that you're here this week, and I hope that you make it a point to be here for every week of this series and really find out who we are and what we're about. And regardless of whether or not you stay here at Renovate, trust me, this stuff is going to be really applicable to your life, really applicable to your life. Now, if you have been around here, around Renovate for a little while, amount of time, like more than 2 weeks or something like that, I want you to consider, how are you connecting? How are you doing on that? Are you finding yourself getting connected? Or are you finding yourself on the fringe, still on the outside looking in? Let's take a look at the early church. I wanted to take a look at Acts chapter 2. There's a reference there in your outline, but it'll also be on the screen here. But I wanted to give you a little bit of a background first. Okay, Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. Here's some background first for you. The scene takes place in Jerusalem, and it's during the Feast of the Passover. And what's going on is that all these people are coming from all over the world. It's basically this huge worldwide party that takes place over 7 weeks. And all these people are coming as they had done over the last 1,500 years. And it's at this point in time that the Holy Spirit decides to intervene. He decides to come in, and revival breaks out. Thousands of people come to Christ, and this is the early setting of the early church. Let's take it up from there. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. Here's what it says. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Did you notice as we read that how many times it said together? Like, it said together a whole lot. And we get the sense that this early church, this eclectic group of people decided to do life together. That this really weird mix of people decided to do life together. And that's the type of community that God intends for us to be. He intends for us to know and be known, to love and be loved, to serve and be served. And that's the kind of give and take of a community that God wants us to be. He wants us to be reaching beyond our junior high fears. You guys ever heard of Marla Paul? A couple of years ago, Marla Paul was a columnist for the Chicago Times. And she wrote an article about really her frustration about how it was difficult for her to connect. And, you know, she kind of really didn't expect too much out of it. She really did pour her heart into it, though. She really wrote on how she was really unsatisfied with her relationships, how isolated she felt, really just how difficult it was for her to maintain relationships. And, you know, the response that she got
was overwhelming. It was overwhelming. I mean, it was only meant to just be this little article that she was going to write just about her own struggles. But this response was that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people wrote in and said, you know what, I deal and I struggle with the same things. Here's what one lady said. She said this. She said, I've often felt that I'm standing outside looking through the window of a party to which I was not invited. Anybody ever felt like that? I think we all have. Here's how Marla ended her column about loneliness. Here's what she wrote. She wrote, sometimes it seems easier to just give up and accept disconnectedness as a dark and unshakable companion, but that's not the companion I want, so I will persevere. And guys, that's what God wants for us. He wants us to be connected. And now here at Renovate, we're going to try to tee that up for you. We're going to try to give you opportunities to get connected, but if you don't walk through those doors, you're not going to make the connections that God intends for you. You're not going to. And so let me ask you, why do it? You know, let me just throw out that question. Why do it? Why get connected? Why be a part of a group of local believers? Why get a part of a church? In Genesis chapter 2, God said this, after everything that he created, after every piece of creation, God said this. He said, it is good. But then, after creating man, it was almost as if he was waving a banner to draw attention to our human condition. This is what he said. He didn't say, it is good. He said, it is not good for man to be alone. It is not good for man to be alone. And Jesus reiterates this statement when he says, what are the two? When a rich guy asked him, he said, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus said, it is to love your God and love others. It's to love God and love people. He boiled all of the law down to that. See, we're to connect with him and we're going to connect with others. That's what God intends for us. Galatians 3:28 says this. It says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. And Paul is making this amazing statement. And he's saying, this is what it's all about. Forget all that class distinction. Forget all that race stuff. We're one. We're one. And that's what God is telling us. And that's how we try to overcome our junior high tendencies of isolating ourselves. See, God never intended for us to be on the outside looking in. He never intended us to be on the fringe. He wants us to be all in. He wants us to be all in. Ephesians 2:19 says, for you are members of God's very own family, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. See, folks, the church is a family. It's a family. That's the way God intended it to be. Now, some of you may be thinking, you may be sitting there, you know what? I came from a pretty dysfunctional family, and I don't know if I really want to be a part of your family, you know? Yeah. Well, I got to admit that sometimes, yes, we are a bit dysfunctional. And would you guys admit to that? You know, we all are a bit dysfunctional. But we work through that. Because the family that God calls us to be is a family that's healthy, is a family that's normal, actually, a family that's sharing, that's life-giving, and that is what the church is to be. See, the church is not a building. The church is not an institution. It's not a club. It's not an organization. It's a family. That's what the church of Christ is to all be about. And that's what I want you guys to make a commitment to. I want you to commit to a local body of believers. And it doesn't even have to be Renovate Church. I understand that. Would I love for you guys to commit to here? Absolutely. But I want you to commit to a local body of believers. It's an important step. It's what God would want us to do. So why do it? Why do it? Why get connected with other believers? Here's your first fill-in. If you guys want to take notes, there's a outline there in your program. Here's your first fill-in. Mutual encouragement. Mutual encouragement. Have you noticed that you can only encourage people with any a real consistency or any real knowledge when you know them, right? I mean, you've got to know people. It's just how it is that if we really are going to be able to come alongside somebody when they're hurting, we have to know them. This, not too long ago, I have a friend who's really going through a really rough time. a very rough time. It's really messy going on right now. There's a lot of difficulty, a lot of strife that's going on in his life. And one morning I was praying for him. I was praying for him, and later on that day we had a chance to connect. And he was telling me, you know, all of the stuff that was going on, and basically all the pain that he was going through in the last like 24 hours, you know. And he was saying all of these things, and because I knew what was going on in his life, I had an ability to try and encourage him. To tell him, you know what, God is with you, man, that I'm praying for you, and I wanna be there for you. That, you know what, his word is true no matter what, and that not to worry, because you are gonna get through this. And I only had that opportunity because I knew what was going on in his life. It's the only reason I had that opportunity. You know what the Bible calls that? The Bible calls that unity. It calls it unity. John 17:23 says this. Say, may they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. But you know what's ironic? You know what's ironic? You know what the most difficult thing there is to unity? You know what the hardest hurdle there is to getting to unity? It's when we get to know each other. It really, I mean, that's the irony of the whole thing. And that's why, you know what? We have really great unity in this church. Because nobody knows each other. We're all brand new. Seriously. So here's what I want you to do. After service, just go ahead and walk out, grab your kid, get to your car, and go on out, okay? Because I want to maintain unity. No. See, the trick is actually maintaining unity as we get to know each other, as we get to do this thing together. And one of the ways that we do that is through mutual encouragement. That's one of the ways that we do that. Hebrews 10:24-25 says this, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another. You know, a little while ago, my wife Brittany and I had two toddlers actually running around the house, and one on the way, okay? Multiply, baby. The Bible says to multiply, okay? So that's what we were doing. But anyway, we've had two kids and another one on the way. And basically, I was going through a really rough week. I mean, I was going through a really, really rough week. And it was Sunday morning, and Brittany was getting up, and she was getting the kids ready. And she really is an awesome woman. She really is. She's a very loving and caring and compassionate woman. And plus, she's hot, so I mean, she's definitely got that going for her too. But she came into the room and she said, "Rusty, you know, honey, what are you doing? You gotta go. I mean, you're gonna be late. You know, what's going on?" And I said, "Baby, you know what? I just don't feel like it. I just don't feel like doing the happy clappy church thing today. You know, I just don't feel like it. Any guys relate to that sometimes? Yeah. You know, I just didn't feel like it. I mean, anytime, do you guys ever say like, oh, man, I just don't feel like going there and dealing with all of the hello, you know, good morning, you know, glory to God, you know, all of that." Seriously, and that's how I felt that day. And you know, my wife, she knows me so well. And she sat down next to me on the bed and she said, "Honey, you know what? It's going to be great. You know, God is going to lift you up. During the worship, he's going to speak to you. The word is going to be opened, and he's just going to encourage you. And plus, Rusty, here's the deal. You've got to go, because you know why? Because you're the pastor, and you need to be there, okay?" And so I did. You know, I got up, but she was so encouraging. And this Christian life can only be lived in relationship to other Christians. And so this idea that we can sort of, you know, say, "I love Jesus and I'm a Christian, but I like to go lots of different places and sometimes not, and sometimes I just kind of bounce from here and there and everywhere." You know what? It's completely false. Nowhere in the New Testament is there a reference to this Lone Ranger Christian. Nowhere. It doesn't exist. We are to be connected to a local body of believers in Jesus. And so I encourage you, if you're saying today, "You know what, I am a Christ follower, but I really haven't found a place to land," Great. I am glad that you're here because God wants you to connect in a whole new way and at a whole new level. No more Lone Ranger Christians. No more. Galatians 2 says this. It says, share each other's troubles and problems, and so obey our Lord's command. We all need encouragement. We are a family. And number two, if we want to get connected, we're also to connect for personal growth. Personal growth. God wants us to connect. He wants us to grow. He wants us to grow in the image and likeness of His Son Jesus. Hebrews 6:1 says, let us go on and become mature in our understanding as strong Christians ought to be. And I want you to consider, as you're considering, you know, a church to find, you know, in this new year and whether or not you're going to land there, I want you to consider this. I want you to consider, do they believe that the Word of God, that the Bible is the Word of God? Do they believe that the Bible is the Word of God? And do they accept the Bible as the Word of God? Not that it's the Bible plus, you know, our other little book. Not that it's the Bible plus, you know, our denominational traditions. Not that it's the Bible plus, you know, our elders said some really cool things a long time ago and they're equal to the Bible and blah, 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 blah. No. It's just the Bible. Do they believe in just the Bible? Because here's the deal. The Bible is the only authority by which we have any authority to speak. It's just the Bible. We don't cheapen it. We don't add to it. We don't subtract from it. It's just the Bible. So wherever you land, make sure that you ask yourself, do they short sell it? Do they compromise it a little bit? Because if it does, and it is, then we won't grow. We won't grow. See, because it's not about getting more of this in our brain. That's not what it's about. It's actually applying this to our lives. See, that's when we know that we've actually grown and the Word has had impact in our lives. Because if we know a whole bunch of stuff and we don't do it, man, there are a whole lot of Christians that are way overexposed and underdeveloped. There's a whole lot of them. So consider, how you doing? How you doing with applying God's Word in your life? How's that going for you right now? Are you doing well? Or are you allowing some of the past, some of that junior high stuff, allow you to feel justified by not applying God's Word in your lives? Well, you know, I just don't want to do it. Because that person over there did this one thing and I just don't feel like doing it. Well, you know what God would say? God would say, move on. Not minimizing the pain, but He would say, I've got so much more for you than just the pain. I want to let you live an even greater life than that. Acts 2 gives us a few other examples of this growth process. Let me just read it for you. It'll be on the screens as well. It says, and those who believed were baptized and joined the other believers in regular attendance at the apostles' teaching. They worshiped together regularly at the temple and met in small groups and homes for communion. There's three things that I want you to circle there for you. If you do me a favor and circle three things. Circle baptized, circle worshiped, and circle met in small groups. Those three things. Circle all three of those. If you want to know if you're growing, ask yourself, how am I doing in these things? How am I doing in that? Well, worship. You know what's great? Is that we can do that here every single week. We can worship together every single week. Well, how about met in small groups? You know, one of the things I'm so excited about right now is that we're going to begin our small groups campaign beginning in February. That we're a brand new church, and you know, we've taken a little bit of a timeline, but we're ready to start, and we're working on that right now. And then in February, we're going to start doing small groups. And I hope that every single one of you join in. I hope that you're all a part of that because it is going to be a huge, huge part of our church. As we continue to grow larger, we need to grow smaller at the exact same time and be able to have those personal connections with other people. Small groups, get involved. And baptism. How are you doing in that? Have you been baptized? Well, yeah, when I was a baby, you know, I was baptized. Well, I'd ask you to consider getting baptized again. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that we repent of our sins and then we're baptized. We repent and then we're baptized. So since coming to faith in Jesus Christ, if you have not been baptized, do it. Do it. That is your next right step. That's your next right step. And you know, if you want any more information on any of this stuff, or you want to sign up for small groups even now, even though we don't have any, then write on. Use that connection card. Use that card. Sign up. We would love to give you a call and let you know more information about that. Here's the third one. Personal growth will always lead to, it will always lead to unselfish service. Unselfish service. We all have a deep psychological and spiritual need to make sure that our lives count. To make sure that we're about something that's bigger than ourselves. That we're not just taking up space, you know? That we're making a difference in other people's lives around us. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." See, God decided a long time ago that he was going to give you some special spiritual gifts. And you know what? He also said, here's the purpose for those gifts. And the purpose is in 1 Peter 4. Let me read it for you. It says, "God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to get very, very rich." Right? Isn't that what it says? No. It says, be sure to use them to help each other to connect. Help each other to connect. Every Christian is a minister. And self-esteem comes from service, not from status. It comes from service. You know, position is great. Achievement is great. But our self-esteem comes from service. All those other things are wonderful. But that deep need for satisfaction and self-esteem comes when we are doing things for other people. Doing things that are outside of ourselves. 1 Corinthians 12:5 and 27 says, "There are different kinds of service, and together you form the body of Christ, and each one of you is a necessary part." Underline necessary part. We're a necessary part. Every member is necessary. There is no biblical basis for spectatorship. There's no biblical basis for that. And some of you might be saying, "Oh, I don't know. You know, what difference do I make? You know, what can I really do?" Well, you can do whatever Jesus tells you to do, you know? You can do whatever Jesus tells you that's your assignment, that's what you can do. See, there's no hierarchy of service. God does not have a hierarchy of service. Every one of us is absolutely necessary. And maybe you say, "You know what, but you don't understand. You know what, I'm not really spiritual enough." Have you seen the people serving around here? Really? We're all just really just normal people, you know? It doesn't take a spiritual guru to serve here. No. We're all just kind of normal. You know the person that greeted you when you walked in? Normal person. Absolutely. I love him. He's sitting right here. You know the people that are watching your kids right now? They're just normal people. They're just helping your kids not only connect with God, but also connect with others. They're just normal people. The only abnormal, weird people are typically, you know, those of us on the stage, you know? I mean, that's typically what it is. But the rest of it, we're all just normal people. Really. I love Alicia. She's back there laughing at me right now. God wants you to connect, and you are a necessary part. You're a necessary part. Here's number four. Number four, the reason why we connect is this, is to discover your kingdom assignment. To discover your kingdom assignment. You don't want to miss out on God's purpose for your life, God's kingdom assignment for your life. You know, if you do, you know what will happen? You'll just make one up. You will. You'll make up a purpose for you to be about. I mean, have you seen some of the things that people get involved in around the world? Have you seen it? Yeah, some of them are some really whack causes. Really, have you seen those? I mean, I lived in Vegas for a long time. I've seen some pretty whack things, okay? I mean, I saw this guy actually climb up a light post on Las Vegas Boulevard. All right? Because he wanted to protest the implosion of a hotel. It was like 50-year-old hotel. You know what happened? He fell off. He died. And they imploded the hotel anyway. Seriously. I mean, that's what happened. And, you know, maybe you're thinking that was a little bit harsh, and I want to email him on that. You are free to email. I just want to let you know that. My email address is actually josh@renovatechurch.com. So go ahead and email me all you want. See, if you're a believer in Jesus, You already have the greatest purpose and assignment in the world. You do. Here's what it says. Here's what Jesus said your assignment is. He said, go into all the world and spread the good news. Make disciples. That's your assignment. That's just not my assignment as a pastor. No, that's all of our assignments together, that we are to go out and we are to make disciples. That's what the Bible teaches, and that's what we at Renovate believe, that we are all ministers. And so you're thinking, man, my assignment is to make disciples. Wow. How do I do that, you know? Well, one of the ways that you can do that is that you actually team up with a group that's larger than yourself. And you connect and you commit to making that happen. You team up with a local body of believers. And see, when you greet somebody as they walk through the door, you know what you're doing? You are helping them tear down walls so that they can come to Jesus when they hear the gospel spoken. You are helping that happen. We're all a team, and we participate together in this process of seeing people being set free. That's what God would want us to do. See, guys, I bet that you would never get on a bus if you didn't know the destination, right? You'd never get on a bus if you didn't know the destination. And I would probably say that that's the same with a church, that if you don't know where a church is going, never join the church. This is why this series is so important. Because we're going to tell you some of our core values. We're not saying that we're the best. We're not saying that we're perfect by any means. But we are saying that we're striving to get better. And that we are trying to do that together in connectedness and be a part of a team together. And what are we about? Here's what Renovate Church is about. We boiled it down to this. Here's our vision statement. It's that Renovate Church exists to help people find and follow Jesus Christ. That's what we're about. We are here to help people find and follow Jesus Christ. That we want to help people introduce people to Jesus and then take them to a deep level in their commitment to God. That's what we want to be about. That's all we want to be about. Acts 20, verse 24 says, life is worth nothing unless I use it for doing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. The work of telling others about the good news of God's kindness and love. That's what we are to be about. That's our kingdom assignment. That's who we are. And then finally, number five, connecting with other believers helps me fulfill my purpose of authentic worship. Of authentic worship. We're all different. We're all different. Everybody on this planet is different. And it's only reasonable to think that people are going to be attracted to different styles of churches. You know? You know what style of church Jesus liked best? Ooh, that's a big question, huh? You know what style of church Jesus liked best? Here's what he said in John 4. Jesus' preferred style. Here's what he said. He said, those who worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And beyond that, you know what? Jesus didn't say anything about style. He didn't say anything about style. You know what style I think Jesus likes best? All of them. He likes them all. Because we are all wired differently. You know, some people connect best in a very quiet and meditative state. And other people love the wild emotions of the Pentecostal church, and that's how they connect best with God, you know? And so here's what we've decided. Here's what we've decided at Renovate Church, that we're not wildly costal, but we're not the frozen chosen either, okay? That we're kind of in the middle. We're kind of middle of the road. We're kind of mildly costal, all right? That's kind of the word that I would use to define our church. And you know what? What every single church has to do is we have to decide what style is God calling us to be. In this community, God, what is it that you're calling us to be? You know, not trying to replicate what's going on down the street, but to be a unique expression of the body of Christ in this community. What style is God calling us to do there? And that's what we're trying to do. We're just trying to fulfill what it is that Jesus has called us to do. So when you go to a church, and maybe some of you are church shopping this morning and you're just checking us out, thank you very much for being here. Really appreciate that. But when you're going to a church, don't try to make it your mission in life to change them. Don't try to do that. That is a waste of your life. Find the one that best fits you. Find that one. And it's not that you're going to find the perfect church, because if you require a perfect church, you know what needs to happen? You have to start it. You have to be the pastor, And then your wife probably won't come because she knows you. You know, seriously. I mean, it's not as easy as you think. It really isn't. 2 Corinthians 3:13 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Find the church that is worshiping in spirit and in truth and where you feel like God is telling you to be. Another thing that you need to ask yourself when you're trying to find a church, when you're trying to find a place to connect, is do I sense the peace and the presence of God in that place? Do I sense the peace and the presence of God in that place? You know, a lot of times we hear this quite a bit, actually, whether that's through surveys that people write out and fill in and send to us, whether that's through, you know, just talking to people after service or having one-on-one coffees with people. A lot of times we hear this, is, you know what, Rusty, I haven't been to church in like a really long time, years. Or, you know what, I just haven't found a place that I really fit in. But they always end the statement with, you know what, before that thing was done, as soon as service was over, it just felt right. I couldn't believe that it was over. It was amazing. It just felt right. I mean, we hear that often here at Renovate, that we just felt right. And you know what I believe? I believe that when the Holy Spirit draws someone to a church, that they feel this sense of peace and God's presence, and that is your assignment. And it's not to say that you can't ever choose another church. Not at all. But it means for that particular point in time that you're all in. That you're all in, that you're committed to that church. And my hope is that Renovate Church is that church for you. That the place that you're going to say, that's where I want to put in with the family of God. And see, God's intention is for us to find meaningful relationships with a body of local believers. When I lived in Las Vegas, I used to love going over to Mrs. Wyckoff's house. My friend Danny came from a family of nine. They actually had seven children, and they lived in this very small house. They were certainly not the richest people on the block by any means, but I loved going over there because they had just the coolest family. I mean, they were just the most tight-knit family, and they all loved each other, and they hung out with each other, and I just loved being a part of that. And so you know what I did? I always tried to get a dinner invitation. I always wanted to get a dinner invitation. So really, because I just had no idea what was going to be on my table, you know, when I got home or what I was going to eat that night. So I wanted to have a dinner invitation to Mrs. Wyckoff's house. And, you know, I would stay there as long as I possibly could. I was just one of those pesky kids that, you know, just stayed around and hung around all the time. And I'd stay there as long as I could until it was at that final point where either she kicked me out or she invited me in, you know. And all the time, most of the time, this is what she always did. She would always find some reason as to why I had to stay and have dinner with them. I had to, you know. She'd come up with some pretty lame reasons sometimes, you know. She'd be like, yeah, you know, honey, I really just don't want to open the door because then the dogs will run out, you know, and I don't want to deal with that. So would you mind staying here with us tonight and having dinner? I mean, would you mind doing that? And I was equally as gracious. I'd say, you know what, Mrs. Wyckoff, if it helps you, absolutely. And you know, she always made me feel as if I was doing her a favor. She always made me feel like that. Psalms 23:5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. A community of believers is led by Jesus. It's led by Jesus, and he sits at this table and he invites us. And, you know, part of the reason that I wanted to go over to Mrs. Wyckoff's house was, yeah, I loved the food and they were great, but I also wanted to experience normal. I also wanted to experience healthy. I wanted to be a part of a tight-knit family, and I wanted to connect with that. And, you know, at Renovate Church, that's what we're to be. We're not to be perfect. The Wyckoffs weren't perfect, but we are to be a body of believers that are connected together. And when we're saying that we're all in, assured of Jesus' acceptance and assurance. You know, that verse actually speaks of a Bedouin tradition. That whenever you would invite somebody into your tent, you would fill them a glass of, you know, wine or water or whatever it was. And what you were saying was, you are welcome to stay as long as that glass has something in it. But once that glass is empty, it's time to go. And at that point in time, you either had the choice of either you were going to fill it up again or not. But if you didn't want that person to have any reservations at all about whether or not they were welcome there, then you would fill it until it overflowed. And you know what? That's exactly what Jesus has done for us. He has filled our cups until they've overflowed. And that is what he calls us to be as a community of believers. Not only here in these walls, but here and beyond. That we are to serve other people, and that's how we get connected. It's the elements of a great life, and it's the elements of a great church. Will you pray with me?